You know, I come to preach to you again and again. As Jesus said, there's none good but God. I don't come because I am good. I come because He is good. If He was not good, I wouldn't even be here, alive, created as an individual, or have the desire to be here. Even though I try the very bottom of my heart to live a perfect life before God, the very thoughts and intents of my heart all the time, day and night. But still, that doesn't mean anything. We're all as filthy rags. All of our efforts, all of our endeavors, all of our fastings, all of our praying, all that we do, all of our giving doesn't amount to anything. It's Christ that fought the battle. It is Christ that won the battle. The Bible said, unless Christ or God keeps the city, the watchman riseth but in vain. The race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, but the battle is the Lord's. And I, as so many times, turn to read right in the very place that we're speaking of, where Jesus says in chapter 18 in the book of St. Luke, the 15th verse, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You know, a lot of times we feel like we're doing everything that God wants us to do, but like this rich young ruler, he suddenly learned that he was greedy and gullible, though he confessed that he kept all the commandments. Whereas God doesn't tell us to keep the commandments today as to the law, Paul said, I therefore conclude that we are saved without the law, without the deeds of the law, that is, not without the law, in that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he does tell us that we should have the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness. We should have faith, we should have meekness, we should have temperance. And Paul said, against such things, there is no law. There is no law. Against these things, there is no law. So we're told that in our life, we're supposed to have the fruits of the Spirit. And this is the fruits of the Spirit. And then the Lord said, and this is also the fruit of the Spirit, that whatever you ask in my name, that I will do it. For it is the Father's desire and good pleasure that ye should bring forth or bear much fruit. And he doesn't want us to bear faulty fruit, but he wants us to bring forth fruit unto perfection. When he says bring forth fruit unto perfection, what he is saying is bring forth not faulty fruit, but perfect fruit. So many times you get fruit, you know, you buy fruit from different parts of the world or the country. And sometimes it's faulty, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's dwarfed fruit, it's just cold. But he said, you bring forth fruit unto perfection. God will purge you that you may bring forth much fruit and that you may bring forth great, beautiful fruit. Therefore, it is his desire that we go on to be perfect. Let us go on. Therefore, leaving the foundation of the repentance, let us go on unto being perfect. I tell you again that we cannot go on to being perfect as to God perfecting us, in that God has once and for all perfected us. For as I remind you again, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So that in God's sight, our spiritual man is already translated into perfection, or into the Spirit of Christ, sealed by the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, to where darkness can never get near us, where sin can never touch us. Therefore, being born of God, we cannot sin, because He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. But then He tells us to go on to perfection, in that we are supposed to take this body and subdue this body to the conformity of Christ, to make it to conform to Christ. For we are now in the sight of God, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And in that God has done the work on the inside of us as to perfecting us in God's sight, now He expects us to take that perfection as to the life of Christ on the inside of us, the Bible says, and make it manifest in these mortal genes. That perfect life must be made manifest in these mortal genes. Realizing that there's none good but God, and the only goodness there is God. And the way that we are good is through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if my body, as to the me, is to be good, then it must become one with the Holy Spirit. Or Christ, the Holy Ghost on the inside, must be, as to Him or His life, made manifest in my mortal genes. I must have this perfection, this life, from glory to glory, as I'm able to grasp, as I'm able to understand, as I'm able to move on with God. I must have this Christ life made manifest in my mortal genes if I'm to please God. You know, what we have to realize is it's like a man and a woman. The Bible speaks of the man and the woman, said, and they shall no longer be twain, but one flesh. And He said, this is a great mystery as concerning the church. For the man and the woman is no longer twain, but one flesh. And for that to come about, then the woman has to be, as I've said so many times, the weaker spirit. Her spirit has to be weaker than the man's spirit. It's like a man's spirit. His spirit is weaker than the angelic spirit. The angel spirits are stronger than our spirit. That's why demon spirits, fallen angels, can actually move right into your body, right into your spirit, become interwoven with your spirit. And as it was with Mary Magdalene, it might be seven devils that will be living in you. Or it could be like Legion. Whereas when Jesus asked the name, they said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And so then, those devils can come in and they can take over your spirit, and they can cause your spirit to translate into a oneness with them, that you will be a walking devil. You will be a walking adulterer. You will be a walking gossiper. You will be a walking person that is hungry for money, just a money-minded person. Fiend, as we would say in the world. Or you can be a walking lie, a walking cheat, whatever it might be, a walking fornicator. You can be habitual in the practices of evil, whatever it might be. See, because these spirits come into you and they make you one with them. Like Jesus said, "I've chosen 12 of you, have not I chosen 12? And yet one of you," He said, "you are a devil." That means that Judas potentially was a devil. That is, God was looking at the end of Judas and saw that the spirit of Lucifer would actually take Judas over, enter into Judas there at the supper when He gave Judas the sop. The Bible said that the spirit of Lucifer entered into Judas. And Judas went out and betrayed the Son of God, being ever so religious, being with Christ Jesus, seeing the great miracles, seeing all these things. See, you can walk right along with the people of God. You can see all the great things of God. You can shout. You can speak in tongues. You can do all the things that they do.
See, you can go right along with them, and then at the end of the way, come to the sad understanding that you've been nothing but a reflector, that you've never really been born of the Spirit. Had you been born of the Spirit, you would have lived according to the Spirit. You would have thought according to the Spirit. You would have done the deeds of the Spirit. And the Spirit would have been made manifest in your mortal genes until this body would have come to perfection. Let us go on unto perfection. That is, as to say, let Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, let the people that we speak to abroad throughout the world, or in Bethlehem, wherever it might be, let them continue from glory to glory to understand as their mind transformates into this wonderful inner glory, heavenly treasure that we have in the earthen vessels. As this reveals itself to us measure by measure, let us therefore transformate into it in our minds, and then through this mind, that wonderful light of the glory of God as to the revealing of Christ within us be made manifest in our mortal genes, until we can say we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and it's not us living but Christ living within us, in that we can testify as of now. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live is not my temporal life that I lost because of sin, but it is the life of Christ, even an eternal life. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God, which gave himself for me. So then, from glory to glory, I'm moving on into that light. See, I have already been perfected as in the eyes of God and by the indwelling of the Spirit, and that the seed of God, which is Christ, my hope of glory, and that he was made heir to the glory, he lives within me. And the kingdom of God is already within me, and my spirit, being translated into the kingdom of God, had to be perfect before it could ever get into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus made it perfect by his work, and God therefore took me as to the inner man, in that the flesh profiteth nothing. There's no motion, no movement without the Spirit. So then my inter-angelic man was made perfect, and that enough to be translated into the kingdom of God and into the kingdom of heaven, into the perfect world, with the perfect people, or the angelic beings which are perfect. So we find that our inner being is filled with the Spirit of God, and we are transformating in mind. And what God wants us to do is go on to perfection, or that is to make manifest in our mortal genes this wonderful glory, this indwelling glory of God. And my perfectness then, that I must go on to, is the surrendering and the submitting of the outer man as to a conformity of the inner man. And the outer man must decrease, and the inner man must increase. Whether you want the outer man to decrease or not, he's still decreasing. Every day he's dying. You know, a lot of people feel like, well, if I do this and I give my time to it, that takes my life. But let me inform you of something. I entice you and invite you to come and labor for Christ and be part of the body, the magnificence of the bride of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to daily surrender your body, your life, and your program so that you can be part of him. And a lot of times you get the idea that because of that, these few years that you've given to Bethlehem, or that you've given to this thing concerning religion, has taken your life. But folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing taking your life as to what I've invited you to do. See, there's nothing that's taking your life as to what you're doing out in the world. What you do every day doesn't take your life, whether it's good or bad. That doesn't take your life so far as your temporal dwelling here and the years that you have to spend here. Time takes your life. It doesn't matter whether you do good or evil. You're still going to lose your youth, and you're still going to move right on down to the grave, and every day takes you one day nearer to the grave. So then time is going to consume you. Time is consuming. The Bible said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. So time is going to consume you, and you're going to die. You're going to use yourself up. See, and time is going to take your life, whether you give it to the good side or the bad side. So then it doesn't matter as to whether the life will be taken. If you had not lived 10 years here for God, you'd have lived 10 years out there. You'd have been just as old. Your life would have been just as gone. The only thing is, by giving your life to God, you get reimbursement. See, God refurbishes. God gives back life. Because in this world, as I say so often, as to this world, this is really not life. Only in the sense that God has given you a little measure of life to see what you will do with life. This is like a reflection of life, to see what you will do with life. And if you do in the spirit of time that you dwell in the body as an angelic being, if you do not the deeds of God, when you come to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ as to what you've done while dwelling in this body, then you won't get life reinstated. Life won't be refurbished. You won't get life. What I'm saying is, God will not give you life, in that this really isn't life. You're only on trial, and God has just given you a little something to see what you will do with it. If you squander like the prodigal, then when time comes to receive life, it will be said of you that this man was not faithful as a steward over that which I committed to him as to his trust. Therefore, give not unto him the true riches, which is eternal life. He was not faithful over the little. Do not give him the much. Therefore, if we do what God tells us, then the day of judgment he will say, this man is worthy of life. I gave him opportunity and I put him on trial, and he did with this little bit of life and commitment as to what is right, to preserve life, to do the thing with life that should be done with life. Therefore, here is eternal life. Now you can have life. You can have life because you're worthy of life. Therefore, enter into the joys of the Lord that was prepared for thee before the foundation of the world, or the world ever was. So then, God has only got us on trial to see what we will do, so that he can feel his kingdom, so he can furbish his kingdom, so he can literally have millions of people from the beginning of the world until the day of the consummation. So we are walking in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his lovely Son, through the Holy Ghost. The precious Holy Spirit is cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Though Satan is pressing in our bodies, though Satan is pressing in our minds, and when we would do good, evil is present with us. Doesn't matter where we go, what we want to think, what we want to say, all the time Lucifer is there, pressing all the time, trying to trample down the mind of humanity. But the mind of Christ we let live within us, and we keep moving into the power and the glories of God. And the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, even Christ. Be not discouraged. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And it is Christ in you that overcomes the world, as to the hope of that of the world, as to the hope of glory. So then he said, you be of good cheer. You just believe. And when you've done all that you can to stand, don't be weary in well-doing, for if you do not grow weary in this season, ye shall reap if ye faint not. And be not weary in well-doing. And he said, when you have done all that you can to stand and you just know you can't do it, said, stand anyway. Stand ye therefore and be strong in the power of my might. Confess my righteousness. Hold up the bloodstained banner of Calvary and say, by faith I can and by faith I will, because there's none good but God, and he's my goodness, he's my righteousness, he's my God, he's my banner, he's my eternal life, he's my everything, he is my all, he is my everything, both great and small. So then let us go on to be perfect, that is releasing from within this glory into the outer man, as from glory to glory, as from wonderful experience to wonderful experience, until the whole entirety of the outer being is swallowed up and it's Christ living. Because the old you is dead. It is dead. It's like I've said so many times, all is dead within Adam. In Adam, all die. We was discussing this tonight. Our brother Pete and I was discussing this, or some of the others. Maybe Jonathan was there. But anyway, we was discussing tonight how that from the garden all the way down, there's nothing but trouble. There's nothing but heartaches. There's nothing but sorrow. See, because it's a tree of knowledge. It's a family tree of death. And we are born part of that family. And that is the beast family. But when the time come for the Son of God to be here, to redeem us, the Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that was under the law. In the fullness of time, I ministered that, I believe, to you the other night. So then, we find that when the appointed time is to the Moed, as to the coming of the day of the Son of God to succor and save, at that time we were released. God released us from the prison of death. And he changed us from the old generation to a new generation by the washing of the water of the word. And so then by the waters of separation, which is Calvary, is to the waters above the firmament and the waters below the firmament. And in the Old Testament is to the washing of the waters, as to the waters of separation, as given through the ritualistics in that day, pointing to the time when God would actually take you and I, which are waters. We are waters as to that that's above the firmament and some below the firmament. As to that which is above the firmament, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, and we are they that dwell in heaven. And scientists speak of us as being a body of water. We are a composition of water, mostly made of water, as to our being. So then as to waters, John refers to it when the beast comes up out of the waters. He said, from in the midst of the people, this beast came up as to rule. So then as to the waters of separation, God has put a great thing between us, even as he did down in the land of Goshen, there in the land of Egypt, as to Goshen over here, and the other part of Egypt over here, to keep those that were the children of Israel from partaking of the wrath of God when he destroyed Egypt. All right, so we see how safe we really are. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that part is cut off as to the land of Goshen. And Satan cannot get there, and the wrath of God that's poured out on the flesh as to someday when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, then to the despairers, the wrath of God will be, and not to us, because the blood is between us and those that have rejected God. Let us go on unto perfectness. Let us continue on unto being perfect. Therefore, let us go on to be perfect in God. Let me continue to release this life of Jesus into this mortal body until this body is changed from glory to glory. In that, as I say, the body of death as to the beast is gone. And in the time of Calvary, when the appointed one came, we see John the forerunner laying the axe to the root of the tree and cutting that whole family tree down. And now it's dead and now it's gone. And I am dead to sin and I am dead to the world. And yet I am not dead in Christ Jesus. For though I was dead, yet I'm alive forevermore. For they that are in this world are dead in trespasses and sin while they live. And yet I live, and yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me in the life I live by the Son of God. For I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. So then that means that God now sees me as the righteous, resurrected, delivered body of the Lord Jesus. And he has seen me before as to the first man Adam, as that which was smitten at Calvary, as the Lord Jesus' body, delivered for my offenses, laid away, done away with, and now he sees me as that body that was raised for my justification, as that spiritual body. They that are born of the Spirit, they are spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said this, for they that are born of the flesh, they are flesh. But they that are born of the Spirit, they are spirit. And so then, having borne the image of the earthly, as to being born to the flesh, and in Adam all die in that family, as to that family tree of knowledge that killed, that puffed up, the old trail of the serpent, or that is the generation of vipers, I am no more. But today I am divorced from that and I am away from that because I, in the beginning, even the foreknowledge of God, was the elect of God and had to pass through that chamber of death as to those weird places as that angelic being of which I was coming down through the valley of the shadows as passing through these bodies as to transition of time and from glory to glory as to the changing of the image right on to my image. Oh, that is to say, though I came out of Egypt, and by the way of the wilderness, my home was Canaan. For in the beginning, my father was in Canaan, and Abraham was in Canaan. And though he went down into the land of Egypt, yet his seed was only to sojourn for a period of time as to 430 years, and then with a mighty hand, the deliverer, Moses said, the prophet like unto, speaking of Jesus, our deliverer, comes to take us over the Jordan as to Calvary, over death, Jordan, or we say Joshua is Christ, and to take us into the heavenly place. So then we're no more in the earth. For we are dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and at death our spirit went back to God who gave it, and our spirit is now interwoven with the spirit of Christ, which spirit is hid in God. Christ is hid in God. We're hid in Christ with God, whom the heavens have received until the time appointed as to the Moed, or the time of the restitution or the changing of all things to bring about the millennium as to back to the garden, or we say into Canaan. So then we see that as Eve here in the garden was one with Adam, as we said this evening in our talk, one with the God image, one with the Son of God image, here Adam had actually been made in the Son of God image. But God processing the flesh, which is the woman, the weaker one, in that Jesus is the head of the church. For he is spirit, and we are born flesh into this world. So then, having left our spiritual identity as in the foreknowledge of God, going through the chambers of death, now we've escaped this, gone through that by the means of Calvary, and now we've come up on the other side as that spiritual image in which Adam was at the beginning when he was the Son of God. So then in his illumination as the Son of God, and Eve taken from him as to a beautiful wife, as to a handsome husband, and all one. When we say that, God beautifies the meek with salvation. All of this as to facial expressions and bodily contour, all of this is lying vanities, and it's nothing but vanity and lying divinations that will pass away. And all who follow after the styles and fashions of this world. The Bible said, in the fashions of this world passeth away, and all flesh is like grass, it withereth. So then, when we understand that we are not of the family of Adam, that we have now been restored back to what we originally was, we look at Adam and Eve and see how beautiful it was, what a paradise it was. And there Eve was one with her husband. He did not rule over her. They were one. As to his thoughts, as to her, they were just one. His desire was her delight, and her delight was his desire. And they were just one. That is to say, as to the revelation of it, God's spirit within the human body of Adam, God's desire was the very thrill and excitement of the activity and the daily activation of Adam as to what he done. See, the body and the spirit, the man and the wife. But when Eve turned to the mind of Lucifer and took the mind of Satan into her, from the time that she took that into her, she was separated from her husband. A middle wall of partition then got between that mind of Adam which was in her and that mind of Adam which was in him, which of course was the God mind. And it made a separation. The woman in the weaker part, having given herself to it, that meant that she was no longer partakers of God's illumination. She lost her beauty as to the beautiful beautifying of the Spirit. She lost her beauty, her radiance, her glory. She lost that light most precious that the Bible spoke of as to those stones that make up that beautiful city called New Jerusalem. So then she lost that. Being illuminated with that, she lost that. And as she went to her husband and he partook, then he lost that. And God then let them fall from that dimension of that illumination here in heaven as to where you and I are now by the restoration. And they fell from the presence of the Spirit. And then after that, there was Eve, and she was taken in control by the mind of the beast. And the mind of the beast was in her. And that mind of the beast had worked through her to get to Adam, and it was in Adam. And now she was under the control of the mind of the beast, and all of her children born unto death. From then on, in the generations, all the way from the garden, as to a mind making the difference, that mind in Adam, making him the head of the serpent, as to in Adam all die, and the generation of vipers coming all the way down as to the trail of the serpent, all the way down to Calvary, when the head was smitten, there when it was bruised, for it was said as to the expulsion of the garden, the woman compassing a man, the Bible said, and the seed of the woman as to take away the right to the man, and the seed of the woman as to the divinity of conception, as to the Holy Spirit bringing life one more time, to bring back the original image of the Son of God, and as to the woman compassing a man, and the Bible said, and her seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, and his seed would bruise the heel. That is to say, striking at the soul. We find that that family tree was done away with. Though Satan ruled through Adam and become the prince of this world and took the right of rule away from Adam in this world, yet Jesus came as the second man Adam, or Adam coming the second time. He came as the fallen image, paid the price, was delivered for our offenses, and then went through that transitional change of burning out the chaff. In that in the Old Testament, all things is purged by fire. I wish that we could go into the revelation of that. But anyway, passed through that. And then as he passed through that altar, as to the lamb of sacrifice, as the fiery indignation of God consumed the lamb, as to the body, wholly received it unto himself. Then coming up on the other side, he was then a quickening spirit. So the second man Adam was made a quickening spirit. And so when he was made a quickening spirit, he was then the image that was lost in the garden in which man had been made before he fell. And now he had brought man back into that wonderful glory, back into that wonderful image. Oh, that is to say, Adam's wife was now redeemed and pure, in that the man had the power in the Old Testament to call things as naught, as to say, I will not count that against her. That is to come to the revelational side of it, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their sins unto them, or that is saying the wife is not to blame, because I am the one that created all things. I work all things after the counsel of my will. Can evil come to a city? I have not sinned, it saith the Lord. So then we see that when Eve lost that wonderful Son of God rulership, then she becomes subject to the rule of her husband, and he shall rule over thee. For she had made herself subject to the mind of the beast. And so then the beast family has been in rule and is still in rule today. The presidency, the queen, the educational system of the world, all that are in college, all of the great men and women of the world today, in all of their riches and splendor and magnificence and fashions of the world today, all of their lust and endeavors, they are but beasts. As I told you the other night when I saw that vision, we was up at the camp. I'd seen the translation, you remember, out in Nevada, and then went up to the camp in Kings Mountain, and there at that tent meeting, I saw this vision. In the vision, it was though I was ministering to the people and had just stepped aside, and I looked over this way, and it appeared that it was just me and my wife, but I suppose there was others with me that it appeared that I didn't see. But I looked over to the side, and there was a mass of people, a congregation of people, as I said the other night. They had their ties on. They had their suits. They were very much as to the upper echelon of life and to the magnificence of the dress of the public that's really in good standing, you know, that can afford the right kind of dress. These people were outstanding. And I looked, and all of a sudden they had turned into beasts. My message had been preached, and because they had not gotten my message, they had turned into beasts. And I thought, oh my God, I looked at them, and they looked just like anybody else. There was no change in them as to visual appearance, visual change. And there they were, but they were beasts. I couldn't communicate with them. I couldn't understand what they were saying. They were of another tongue, another language, and they were just kind of gobbling like. And I looked and I knew that they were beasts, that they had become beasts. All right, then when they fail from the garden, they become beasts. All of the family of the world is beasts. But we that are born again, we're not beasts. We're not beasts. The Bible said these are beasts. Paul said, I've wrestled with beasts. And these are beasts. And some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. Like in the Old Testament, a brute beast, God wouldn't let them live. If an animal gored somebody to death, he'd have them killed. See, I'm using that for an illustration, just to try to make you understand that on this side of Calvary, the image has returned. The great illumination has returned. And this time we're not overshadowed as to the illumination, the way that Mary was. As to the illumination, we're not just illuminated with it, though the world is illuminated with it. And the blood on the seat of atonement is the fire that gives forth the light for the illumination. And God sees through this grace as to the blood, which is the fire on the seat of atonement. So it is through this that God takes away the sins of the world. And he doesn't see their sins at this time, because it's covered by the blood. For Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, to give the saints, those that were elect, time to come out of that into this enticing, wonderful thing. And those people a chance to carry on the world and the system of the world to where the children of God would have homage and have a place to stay, to live, to eat, whatever, to work. Now, but it's about over. And the blood is ready to come off the seat of atonement. And the expulsion of Revelation 12 is about to take place, as Lucifer cast out of heaven, which goes back to show what happened in the garden. And the man child then goes up to the third heaven. See, up to the third heaven. That is to say, the illumination has come. The image has returned. The Son of God image. Let us make man in our image. The God image is back. And now, rather than just illuminating us with it as he has the world, we're born as to the inner man of that glory. It is Christ, the illumination himself, that has returned and went into our spirits, and on the inside of us has translated our very spirit into a oneness with his spirit. Into a oneness with his spirit. Therefore, we are delivered from death. Fallen angels can come into your spirit and translate your spirit, and then it will change your blood, and then it will change your very image to demon image. Christ has come into my spirit, and as a man's spirit enters into a woman's spirit, and eventually, if that woman is not demon possessed, his spirit will change her spirit till it is but one spirit. And because the blood seed comes from the inspiration of the human spirit, then that blood is changed into his very blood. And then, because an image is a production as to an object that emanates from that blood, then therefore there comes an image, and this image is very blood and bone and flesh of the seed that produced that image. So then God has done this. Christ has come into my spirit and made my spirit one with his spirit. And because of this, it has changed my blood in the sight of God to royal blood. And now the royal blood that flows through my life is the fire that burns the chaff out. And from that, coming on into my bodily image, he is changing me from glory to glory, as to the translation of my spirit, the transformation of my mind, as to the change of my blood, my soul, and then released into my body, as to that instantaneous change. Already in the sight of God, I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then, at the change, Thessalonians change, it will appear what I am. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God, and yet it doth not appear what you are. That is, it does not visually come to you as to you to see me as a son of God, or the glory that I possess as a son of God, or the illumination as to the church. But it will be revealed It will be revealed. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if it was here, I would see it. But you cannot see it. See, there's no way that you can see my glory and my illumination. Jesus said, Father, where I am, let these be with me also, that they might see my glory. For they had not been able to see his glory. The reason is because the death veil is over the eyes of the people. The intellectual veil, that is death as to carnality or carnal minded. See, from the fall in the garden as to the first birth, and you are covered with that veil of darkness, and you cannot see, the Bible said, as to the enlightening of your eyes of understanding. You cannot comprehend, you cannot see when good comes. And the Bible said, and they shall not see when good comes. For if this gospel as to this great divine light be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, for they are abiding in death. They are under the shadow of death, and they cannot see beyond that. So you could never see our illumination. You could never see it. But we're not to know each other after the flesh. As to Brother Taylor, I'm not to know him after the flesh. For the flesh is a failing substance. There it profiteth nothing. It's from the dust. It's just atomic particles that is put together as a composition to give the true man a little place of habitation. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, but if this tabernacle be dissolved, which it will, the Bible said the heavens being on fire, the earth, the heavens, all therein shall utterly be dissolved. But if it be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, even a house in the heavens. As I have borne the image of the earthly tabernacle, as to the tabernacle in the wilderness of Adam, my interangelic being will move out of that and bear the heavenly house, which is called the temple of the living God. So then, in the sight of God, thus I am. And you cannot see me, but when he appears, all of a sudden the veil will be gone. See, we see each other as they are, which are sons of God. Not to know even Jesus after the flesh, but after the resurrected Son of God. And when I say this, I am very, very desirous in my heart to really go into the deeper, deeper things of God as to the revelation of Christ. But I know that we're always limited when we stand up here and we just have to say a few things, and then we struggle and kind of stagger along because many people are not spiritual. And you have to be very slow and very precise and very careful. And if this goes on film, then people out yonder will choke to death off of it. Or you that are here at Bethlehem, many of you that feel you're very spiritual, you're just little toddling babes. And we have to chew it up like the mothers used to do real fine and just take a little tad of it and stick it in your mouth for you to be able to get it. So then, we don't want to be a reflector. We want to be his very bride. Let us then go on to be perfect. That is, let us go on to swear to our own hurt and conform to his desire and become one with him. That to be his bride is to be his flesh, to be his bone. And to do that, it takes a full surrender. The songwriter said, and I surrender all, Lord. I surrender all to thee, Lord. I surrender all. I know that in Pentecostalism, they teach that this is our salvation. As to going on to this perfection, you know, they preach going on to perfection, and they've got it all boggled down and mixed up with the fact that we as a spiritual being have to go on to be perfect in the Lord, and if we endure to the end, and the Lord puts us in the balances and weighs us and sees that we got more good than we have bad, then there's a good potentiality as to saving us. That isn't the way it is at all. We are born of God. We're elect before the world ever was. We're born of God. We come to the time of acknowledgement when we're preached to. And because we are the elect, then are we already perfect? And as we go on, our perfection will be made manifest in this mortal gene, that we may come to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, or the full reward, or come to Thessalonians change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, that we might appear suddenly before God and before the whole world as the wonderful, glorious children of the living God. So then, it is so wonderful to know that God will take us, manifest us. We call it the manifestation of the sons of God. and manifest us as the sons and daughters of God to bring us into a new world, even a new world called the millennium, that we might enjoy a new world. Somebody had a dream last night or a vision that I changed the order of things and we come into a new government. And sure enough, we've been speaking as of late to Mr. Bush, bringing this new government about. Margaret Thatcher stepped down from her office. We spoke of that quite a long while ago, that it would change from the female to the male, and that it changed from the male to the female, and the male was not in the transgression, but the female, that it will change back because Calvary brought it back to the proper perspective. That is from the flesh to the spirit. And the change of this in the order of rulership shows it. And one of the places that we particularly pointed out was there in that country as to the queenship, Margaret Thatcher, of those things. So then we see everything is closing in around us. Everything is coming to the right perspective. That means that the coming of the Lord has to be at hand. Let's stand together. Many things we'd like to say to you, but I can tell you tiring already. And we just have to keep dealing with you as little babes as we go along. I would that you were spiritual. I like to speak unto you as spirituals in the Bible. So desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. So then, let us, as the church, as a mother that cares, watch after the babes. Jesus said, when he went away, he said, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs. He was concerned about his lambs. It's true that if I was going to make a trip, though I would be concerned about my children that are older, yet my little ones, if I had little bitty ones, I would really be concerned about them. I'd say, watch those. Whatever you do, watch my little ones. And Jesus said, watch my little ones. Watch my little ones. Watch my lambs, because he knows that the wolf desires that which is tender. He's always after the little lambs. No fight back. When he hits the sheep, a lot of times the ram will bust him wide open. When he comes into him with those horns, the ram has the power to move with such speed and thrust that he can kill a wolf. You know, but he wants to get those lambs, to the tender ones. And it's up to us. We, as leaders in sonship, have the power of the rams. For behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. See, and we are now born again. We're not in the old Adamic tree as to the nature of sin, but we are now in the tree that was in the garden that's called the tree of life. We're now a new family tree, which means we are branches of a new tree, and that the tree of life. So then, let us, the Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For the Bible said, and in that day, the leaves of those trees shall be for the healing of the nations. Back as to the words set to the tongue, fashioned as to a leaf. And in that day, those trees shall yield their fruit every month or in their season. For if you walk circumspectly before God, the Bible says you should bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves shall not wither. And whatever you do will prosper. So then as to your words, they won't return unto you void. It'll be the words of God that will accomplish that he pleases, prospers in that whereunto he has sent it. For he sent his word and healed them. And by his word he cast out the unclean spirits. And it is his word. As to the gospel, the Bible said, and this is the power of God. So then I give unto you power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power. Or let it be said that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ that mastered Satan, that created the world, for that is God that was in that human body. It is now within you, and it has made you bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that is power. His Spirit is power. He gave them the power to become the sons of God. That is the power on the inside to change your body into the God image. All right, can we sing together? I'd like for you to pray for David, Paul. He and Thomas was putting up a light pole for his trailer. He's pressed to move. And having his little family at heart, he was trying to
put this thing up. It's pretty good size, and it got away from him, and it fell across him, and it bruised him. Would have seen a vision, I think, maybe sitting in the chair there at home or on our knees or something. Sometimes the open vision, sometimes a night vision. I believe this was one of the open visions where I'd warned David to watch, because I saw it was a metal thing that was coming down on him and striking at his head. And he said in this case, of course, this pole had a lot of heavy metal on it. And as it come down, he moved his head like that and hit here. And when Thomas was going to catch part of it to try to hold it off of him, he said that he hollered for Thomas to get out of the way. And when he did, it come straight down on him here and took him to the ground, and it bruised him. And between him and Thomas, they managed to get it off of him. Not Thomas. It was not Thomas. One I called Little Willie. It's hard for me to remember the names. I got so many Big Willies and Little Willies and all kind of folks. But anyway, his name may be Willie. It is Willie. Okay. It was Willie. Little Willie. Well, it was middle-sized Willie. But anyway, he helped him, and he told me he was really scared. He said he thought that thing had crushed him to death. Thought it had wrecked him here. But he come over, we prayed for him, and I called a little later, and he talked like he was doing all right. Can we sing a little chorus together? As I said, the preacher, he stays hoarse, whether it's bad weather or good weather. But anyway, in this kind of weather, you get kind of tied up a little, but we still have to preach. You know, you get tired. You go on your job, you still have to work. All right. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing that with me? I love him. Can we sing that together? I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Do you claim it? Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is a lie. Every promise in the book, it is thine.
every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Love the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together.
Jesus gave us some water, and it wasn't from the well. My Lord gave water, she went forth to tell, and she went away singing, and came back to bring others to the water that wasn't from the well. Gave her water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went out to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't.
Can you sing it with me?
Jesus gave her some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went home to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to that water that wasn't from the well. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that healeth my soul. I'm bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And he poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in that oil and the wine. It's the wine that redeemeth my soul. I'm bleeding and dying on that Jericho road, and be poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. The wine that was pouring my soul. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine.
Set a measure of penny for a measure of wheat for a penny. A measure of barley for a penny. But see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
May bleed and dying on the Jericho. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that my soul. He found me
and died on that Jericho.
Poured in that oil.
One more time together. Danny, come up here, can you?
Jesus poured in that oil and
they say father like son and son like father.
And dying on that Jericho. Pouring and the wine. Jesus pouring all and the wine. It's the wine that restored my soul.
I think I'll get my wife to come up here, Betty.
Jesus poured.